Operation Swordcast.
This is Operation Swordcast. Reception set to minus 3 decibels at Celtica Radio. SIG.
Well, Bilster, it's been a while.
It has. We are near the end of the year again.
We are. It's December and it's the Swordcast.
It's a Christmas Swordcast, no less.
It's a Christmas bumper, and by golly, do we need cheering up?
Swordcast. It certainly is. It's a bit of a roller coaster year with one thing and another, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing and another, and a chuffing virus. We're still here. We're alive and kicking. We're still sanding. Well, I'm not sanding anything.
Sounds like noise in the background. Are you Black and Decker?
We're standing. And will you stop supping, Kraken?
Sorry. It's medicinal purposes only.
Yeah, release it, boy.
Yeah, it's well released, believe me.
Right. Well, Bilster, so tell me how you went on over the last couple of months with, as a vintage toy impresario that you are, with selling on eBay.
Not very well, to be honest.
I think it's interesting to look back when we started, when eBay kicked off in the UK. It was the year 2000. I remember mentioning it in the pub on a Friday night when I used to go down there. No one had heard of it. They said, you know, they thought I was a complete geek. And, you know, initially it was, as far as I remember, just for second-hand goods, really. You know, it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't massive. But it was the place to find that elusive white Probe Force 3 for your Project Sword collection. I mean, you probably wouldn't have even seen it.
I know.
Unless it appeared on eBay. I mean, there were so many things that we learnt just by clicking on vintage space toys on eBay.
It was an absolute revelation thing. When I sort of like first got online, must have been about 1999, something like that. And one of the first places that I went on was eBay, just to have a little look. And it was mostly stuff in America, because there was hardly anything available in England. But it was an absolute revelation. And, you know, I went on looking for Micronauts, Project Sword, obviously, Star Wars toys and things like that. There was loads of stuff which had never been released in the UK and I'd never even heard of. I thought, oh, God almighty, this is fantastic. But nowadays, I restrict myself to the English site because, for some reason, if you buy anything internationally, because of eBay's global shipping program, it gets sent all over the United States before it even leaves the continent, you know, and it comes to you. And it takes absolutely forever, and it costs you a fortune.
Well, I saw a documentary recently about the rise of Amazon. I mean, it was interesting when you talk about the big four on the internet. It's Amazon, Apple, Facebook and Google. eBay doesn't get a look in, and yet eBay was there probably before most of them. I can't remember who came out with the quote. I think it was actually about Jeff Bezos.
He's the guy who came up with eBay?
No, he's the guy that runs Amazon. He's the richest guy in the world.
Oh, well, I know him, yeah.
Or is it Steve Bezos? Anyway, I'm getting me Steve Jobs and me Bezos is mixed up here. The flaming rich, I know that.
Making Bezos up a bad job there, aren't you?
He said he saw the fatal flaw in eBay immediately, and that was that eBay didn't control the shipping. And that's why he invented the Amazon Prime delivery fleet, in effect. I mean, they've got their own vans.
Right.
Whereas eBay continues to this day to be a shot in the dark, really. If you send something off, and I've started to put listings only as signed for, not that that's any guarantee at the moment, certainly not at Christmas, for something arriving in time or actually at the destination, but at least you can give the buyer a tracking number.
Whereas
Amazon would never have that problem. You know, you can order a can of Coke on Amazon and get it the same day.
It's amazing.
Through an Amazon delivery service.
Having said that, I ordered some Christmas goodies the other day from Amazon. good enough, they came within 2 days. But when the package arrived on the doorstep, because you basically have to left it on the doorstep and walked off, it was open. And, you know, everything which was in the packet could have easily fallen out. Luckily, it hadn't done, but...
Amazon is not the go-to place for vintage toys, is it?
No,
unlike eBay. So if we could merge the two somehow, if we had eBay Prime, then and guarantee that things go where they're meant to go...
It's a possibility, it really is. I mean... Funny you should mention sort of like takeovers. I tend to just like buy a lot of Lego, and one of the things which has been very popular in the past is Bricklink, which is basically a collection of sellers who sell through their own little shop fronts on this site called Bricklink, and basically you find the piece that you want, you find the number on the brick of the part that you want, and you can buy it for coppers, depending on how rare it is, and you have all these individual sellers, not unlike eBay, but have all the different bricks listed, so you just type in what you want, and then Bricklink will give you the list of all the sellers in your area who have this particular piece, so then you go to the shop where you want to buy from, pick what you want, send them the dosh, and then they send you the goods, and for years it's been brilliant. But recently, Lego have just bought it wholesale.
Wow.
They've just bought the entire company, site, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I would have thought the owners of Bricklink have also made a few squidlings out of this.
Oh, definitely.
And maybe currently sat in the Bahamas on a sun lounger.
Made out of Lego.
I wouldn't feel too sorry for them.
I know.
This is what happens when you have a fantastically good grassroots idea online. And one of the big boys gets all of it. Have you come across the sort of lockdown phenomenon of Freecycle?
I've not come across it, but I know of it. I've never used it.
But Freecycle is basically where you get rid of stuff that you don't want, and you advertise it on your local Freecycle site online, and you leave it on the doorstep, and someone comes and picks it up.
And
I've been trying to work out why is it so popular, and I think it somehow taps into this desire to help each other out and also to declutter. And I think at one time stuff that's going on Freecycle would have gone on eBay, bypassing the whole seller experience and giving it away.
I've seen when we were in the lockdown over summer, there were instances of boxes being left outside houses with books and magazines left in them, you know, quite recent ones. And, people made a little note and saying, free to take, and which I thought was a great idea because, obviously people can't get out to go and buy the current magazines. So, people were sort of like leaving them for people to get, which was nice.
A good example is a friend of mine the other day picked up a crate of Lego. You'd have loved it. It was full to the brim, this plastic crate of Lego, including box sets of Star Wars and Halo Lego.
Dear God.
Halo sets, which don't mean anything to me, to be honest. But I was fascinated I wasn't fascinated with the Lego, but I was more fascinated with what was in the crate with the Lego. There was all sorts of gubbins in there, including a coin from the 18th century. There was a die-cast Darth Vader on a base. There was a threatening bit from 1937. And there was all sorts of stuff. And there was also... some Bionicle, which I think I sent pictures of to you.
Again, Lego is very resaleable, really, because it's damn near indestructible, and particularly if it's boxed and complete, it's got a major resale value almost immediately when a set's released. it becomes more and more valuable as just like time goes on, because they only tend to release them now for a certain period of time, and then they retire them. So Star Wars, particularly, is quite valuable. But I mean, myself, I love Bionicle, and the reason being is it's just like an action figure based series. And the big selling point with Bionicle when it came out back in probably about 2002, I think, something like that. It was ages ago, and it's been going for donkey's years. What they did, they had a collectible aspect to it, so each figure had a removable mask, and they used to sell the masks in little baggies. You'd get sort of like four masks for about $150, something like that, and you didn't know what you were getting. You're buying them blind, and there were certain ones which are rarer than others, and I used to go into Tesco and buy loads of them at a time, you know, just to try and get all these masks. Because originally, I think there was about 100 different ones, and some were rarer than others. They're fabulous. I just like them for the A, for the sort of like collectible value, and B, because I like masks and things like that, because it reminds me of just like primitive art and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've just started collecting the last few that I need now, and I was buying them off Bricklink, and what I've pretended to do is just buy lots on eBay, a couple of pounds for a big bag of Lego, and every now and again, you'll find one or two of these masks in the bag, and it's great. I bought a bag the other day, and I got a couple of masks in it, but an almost complete Star Wars Death Trooper figure as well, which I managed to put together.
Wow!
But like you say, you always find all the little odds and sods in with the Lego, because obviously it's been on the floor. It's been scooped up by the mum and just thrown in the box, and all sorts of other stuff ends up going in the box with it. So see what you end up with. So
amazing. Well, speaking of missing parts, we probably need to have a commercial break.
We do indeed. We do indeed. So we'll just go missing for 5 minutes while we have these couple of messages. I'll be right back with part two.
T-Mobile for Business knows saving time and money is important for your business. That's why we're introducing Microsoft 365 on us, now included in our best business plans. With Office apps, Microsoft Teams, cloud storage, and more, Microsoft 365 on us gives you the tools you need to run your business. Stop by a T-Mobile store today. Qualifying plan required. Contactless activate. One license per line. Max 2 per account. Third-party terms apply. See T-Mobile.com for plan details.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera.
Buonasera.
How can I make the most of waiting for my next big vacation?
Translate your questions into goals by investing with Merrill Edge Self-Directed. It's more accessible than you think, with helpful planning tools plus free online stock and ETF trades, so you can keep practicing your pronunciation. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Other fees may apply. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Hi, this is Rachel Stark. Don't forget to join me to hear the latest additions to the Celtica Radio playlist on the New Music Radio Show. That means the most up-to-date tracks as fresh as tomorrow. So remember, the New Music Radio Show with Rachel Stark, only on Celtica Radio.
Climb aboard with Rachel Stark's New Music Show on Celtica. Climb aboard with Rachel Stark's New Music Show on Celtica. I think so. Celtica Radio.
Well, and welcome back there, Bilster. Here we are again, second half.
Yeah, second half, ding ding, round two. Here we go. So, have you by any chance been watching any good TV lately? Have you seen The Mandalorian?
No.
Are you a Star Wars fan?
I am a Star Wars fan, yeah, but I'm tight. And watching The Mandalorian will no doubt cost shekels, which I'm not prepared to part with.
Mm.
So, The Mandalorian, I'm assuming the Mandalorians live on the planet Mandalore.
They do indeed, yeah. So, yeah. Well, they did. So, I mean, thereby sort of like kind of hangs a tale. The Mandalorians originally came from Mandalore, but during the course of, nine films, God knows how many TV series and various other bits and pieces, basically we don't live there anymore.
So, and a holiday special, which no one wants to watch.
Oh, hell no. You don't want to go there. I mean, the one redeeming feature was the cartoon section with Boba Fett in it.
Introduced Boba Fett. Now, so the trailers I've seen of The Mandalorian, which are very, very, very attractively done, show a Boba Fett-like figure. So is Monsieur Fett a Mandalorian?
Technically, no.
Ah.
So hereby hangs another tale. Basically, Boba Fett wears Mandalorian armour. So the chap in The Mandalorian is, well, even he's not actually a Mandalorian. So this is where it gets a bit complicated. So originally the Mandalorian were a warrior caste from the planet Mandalore. The Mandalorian himself is actually an orphan who was picked up by the Mandalorians and brought into their tribe. So he's not a purebred Mandalorian. But he wears the Mandalorian armour, follows the Mandalorian way. Boba Fett, as we know, is Jango Fett's clone. And even Jango Fett, apparently, wasn't a Mandalorian. He was similar situation. He was just sort of like affiliated with the Mandalorians. So Boba Fett isn't actually a Mandalorian either, which makes things a little bit complicated. So they have a bit of a check in history. But, I mean, to cut a long story short, The Mandalorian as a TV series, I've watched both seasons now, is an absolute Star Wars fan's dream. It is, whereas the last couple of Star Wars films have been a bit hit and miss, particularly the last one was a bit of a dog's breakfast because it just like threw everything into the mix, just in an attempt to sort of like wrap everything up. The Mandalorian is basically a Western-style, space-themed show. But it's got all the best parts of Star Wars in it. It's got like gritty drama, it's got aliens, spaceships, good characters, and it's absolutely fantastic. And without sort of like spoiling things too much, it's also got Boba Fett in it. So apologies for any spoilers there, but you know, given the amount of hype around it, you know, people obviously know this anyway.
Well, you can't spoil it for me because contemporary sci-fi blockbuster Raised with Wolves, I'm probably not going to see it until I'm 70. So, but anyway, a young pal of mine mentioned that Boba Fett or Jango Fett or the clone of Boba Jango actually fell into Sarlacc's pit, tickled its fancy and was spat out. Is this true?
Well, again, we don't quite know. It's not been revealed what Boba's fate was as such. But, I mean, at the end of Return of the Jedi, poor old Boba Fett does end up in the great pit of Carcoon and fell into the Sarlacc's maw because his jetpack misfired. So he was presumed dead and missing. And, you know, basically that was the end of a good character. He's one of the best characters in Star Wars and one of everybody's favourites. And they just like wrote him off. So the Mandalorian is a means to sort of like redress the balance, and it just does it in spades. It's just such a good show, it really is. And the one obvious connection to the Star Wars holiday special is Boba Fett's gun in the cartoon is like a trident affair with like two prongs on the end, and the Mandalorian carries a similar weapon. So it's little touches like that, which is like hark back to various bits throughout the Star Wars canon.
And a two-pronged affair and a misfiring jetpack.
Yeah,
that's always a good combination. I have got to ask, has Mr. Lucas got a hand in this whole behemoth?
Well, no, I don't think he has, actually, because he sold out to Disney, didn't he?
God, so it's all Mickey Mouse's fault.
Yeah, it's all gone Mickey Mouse, yeah.
But they're
doing it incredibly well. Even though Disney own all the rights to Star Wars and things like that, whereby the films have been dumbed down a little bit, The Mandalorian is really gritty and it's just damn good. It's great storytelling as well.
And do you think it will generate a whole new universe of merchandise?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things about The Mandalorian, it's got a very, very young baby Yoda-like character. So whatever species Yoda is, it's never made explicit what he is. But there's a baby version, which is incredibly cute. So there's a huge amount of merchandise. I was in Tesco today on the sweets counter. There's a little baby Yoda head full of sweets. And it's like almost going back to 1977. You could get a little plastic R2s full of Twizzles and things like that. You know, all that kind of thing has come about now. So, I mean, Boba Fett merchandise around about that time was few and far between. I think I saw one of those little Tops candy heads. There was a green one with of Boba Fett, a black one of Darth Vader, and a white one of Stormtrooper. I think that was the only sweet-related merchandise I ever saw of Boba Fett. But now it's fair game. You can get Mandalorian advent calendars, Mandalorian body wash, you know, impounded asteroids with it. It's all there. You know, it really has taken off.
So which was your favourite toy that you got at Christmas in your tender years?
It's a good question, actually. I mean, every year, you know, the same thing sort of crosses my mind. You know, you're sitting there on Christmas morning and all these packets are arriving. You think, oh, God, what's going to be in this one? And in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking I'm going to open a box one day and it's going to be a topper Cape Canaveral rocket base or something like that, or a SpaceX nuclear pulse. You know, just like take me back to that one sort of moment in 1969 or 1970. And, you know, I think that will be a nice plastic space toy.
I think that's the whole bit, the very essence of nostalgia, isn't it? To try and teleport you back to that moment where you unwrapped your Johnny Seven or your...
I never did. You've got to bring it up, haven't you?
I'll try another one, when you saw your rally chopper propped up against the sofa. Oh. You did have a rally chopper, didn't you?
I didn't. This is another sort of thing. You just ruined
For God's
Christmas
sake,
now.
What did you have? I had an almost nightmarish vision the other day of my. Well, I don't know who the culprit was. The either mum or dad, possibly both of them, in some ritualistic shedding of my childhood. But at some point, my Colourform's outer spacemen disappeared from my life without me noticing, presumably when I grew bone fluff and started listening to heavy metal. They disappeared completely out of my life and no doubt ended up in the wheelie bin.
Oh.
Now, someone must have actually opened the lid of the wheelie bin and taken this bevy of fantastic rubber space toys and actually let them go into the bottom of the bin with the, you know, the carcass of the turkey, or God knows what was in there.
Horrendous.
And I suddenly had this vision that this took place. It took place for all of us, every one of us, this appalling abandonment of our youth.
It's a shame, isn't it? It really is.
It's neglect, and we should take them to court.
Child abuse. I can actually remember one day when we were having a bit of a tidy up. My dad's taken the remnants of my topper rocket base. It was the red base with the three Nike Hercules missiles on the top. And all three launchers had broken off. All the fences were missing. And it was just basically the red base. And he said, oh, come on, lad. He said, but there's no point in keeping this. He said, it doesn't work. And I said, I want to keep it, Dad. I might be able to fix it. You're not going to be able to fix that. Whoosh, into the bin bag it went. Oh, God, I was in tears.
Could you not retrieve the bin bag in some clandestine raid later on?
Oh, man, I was 22 at the time. No, it's, my dad's word was law then, like, you know, so...
All right.
Yeah, he just...
He was, he was Judge Dredd, Judge Dad. You had to you took the long walk into the scorched earth of teenage.
Yeah.
Where there were no toys whatsoever.
Well,
I think the only thing that survived my childhood was that were a few books like Jason and the Golden Fleece, which is from Zodiac, a Zodiac shop, a few horror books. The Aurora Witch, which I no longer have. I'm not entirely sure what happened to old Witchy, but I had it till I was at least 20. I had a Dracula candle, which I never... Dracula candle, which I never lit.
Oh, you're scared of gas.
I don't know where that went. I had him up till about 23.
Did your brother throw that out? Didn't you leave it in your flat?
I think that was the Aurora Witch, actually. You would have to bring that up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Old wounds. Oh, God, scratching them open.
Pay back to the 27, come on, that, mate.
Right, just wait till I get me armour-piercing shell on that Johnny 7. Aim it in your direction. Well, Bilster, talking of...
getting fired.
Getting fired. I think we might have to fire off ourselves.
I think we will. It's time's caught up with us as usual. So all that remains to say there is for everyone to have a great Christmas. And hopefully, we'll say 1991, a much better 2021.
A much better 1967.
So everyone stay safe, and we shall see you in the new year. So it's good night from us.
And it's good night from us.
You threw me through you then, didn't you? You know what to say. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And good night.
Operation Swordcast returns next time. SIG.